This morning I'm going to read various verses out of the scripture for our scripture this morning. I'll begin with Genesis 2:24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Then Genesis 3:20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her name. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Genesis 24:60. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. And we go over into Exodus, Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And Exodus 21:15, and he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And Exodus 21:17, and he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And in Deuteronomy 27:16, we have, cursed is one who treats his father or his mother with contempt, and all the people shall say, Amen. I've read these verses, and I could have gone on throughout the scriptures. There's some, I don't know, over 300 uses of mother in the scriptures. And that would stand also for fathers, and we find sisters and brothers and so forth throughout the scriptures. And let me say this first, that with respect to the title this morning, what's wrong with mother? Well, there's nothing wrong with mother. But there's certainly something very, very wrong in our society. There is something very, very wrong within our culture. There is something very, very wrong within the leadership of our nation at the present time. Mothers are protected by the law of God. That's evidenced in scriptures. That's why I read that portion out of Exodus. The law of God protects us. It protects our mothers. It protects our fathers. It protects you and I. The law of God is God's protection and care over us as we learn through the law of God how to live civilly in the societies in which we live. No one enters this world without a mother. We know that. We try to change that somehow. We're trying to change that. We're trying to say, well, anybody can give birth to a child. The scriptures are very clear on this, and we need to understand that. We come into the portions of scripture that tell us this. The creation order is simple. It says in Genesis chapter 5, it says of Genesis and of that chapter as well, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called him Adam. That is man. Today we say in the new translations of scripture, we use the word mankind, but Adam means simply man in the Hebrew language. Called him man. in the day they were created. A large portion of our society denies this. A large portion of this society says, well, we have all kinds of genders. I'm still trying to find out what cisgender is. I know it's those who are heterosexual, I think, but when I read it sometimes in the media, I don't quite understand it. CIS, cisgender. Others say, well, there's 32 genders. Some say there's 6 genders. Some say there's 72 genders. Some say you can be anything you want. We're in denial. We're in denial, of course, of God. And when we look very closely, we should recognize what is happening. There are those within our culture that want to persuade us that there are no valid mothers, there are no valid fathers, there are no valid sisters, there are no valid brothers. And this is being pushed over us, and it's being pushed against God, against his people. This is part of what we might speak of as the cancel culture. That's a popular concept today. The cancel culture. Everything American is bad. Look, there's a lot wrong with America. There's no doubt about it. But there is one thing very right about America, and Americans are the only system on the earth that can correct itself through its representatives. That's interesting, because other countries, you see, the government gives you the rights. America, the Constitution gives you the rights, because the Constitution basically is based in the law of God. We should never forget that. And when I say it's based in the law of God, I'm not saying that we were founded as a Christian nation. We were founded by those whose consensus, the great consensus at the time of the founding of this nation, that's where they decided to sit down and say, well, here's what kind of government we're going to have, is 2/3 of those at that period of time in our country were reformed. People don't understand that, but that's a fact. You had the Episcopalians who had the 39 articles, you had the Presbyterians who had the Westminster Confession and the Westminster Catechisms, you had the Reformed Church in America and the Reformed Church in the U.S., and these were basically the guiding lights of the early Americans. And when they sat down to write the Constitution, they based it on the principles of the law of God. That's why we have three arms of government. We have basically the legislature, you have the lawmaking bodies, you have the administrative body, and you have, of course, the judicial body. Those three. And what do? They were formed to be a check on one another, because they believed very deeply and very knowledgeably and very rightly in the depravity of man. That's why we have this form of government. We know that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? We sometimes think, and we look at countries and we see tyrants, and we know we have tyrants that are surrounding us today, and we know we have governments that have completely different and entirely views of what justice really is. We have governments that we recognize that are actual tyrannies. They are controlled by one individual, and they seek to do great harm, and they do great harm to their own subjects. And they are a threat oftentimes to other countries. And we look and we recognize and should recognize that we have a great privilege within our land of freedom. Now, sometimes we take freedom wrongly. Freedom doesn't save us. Freedom doesn't always mean that we can do anything that we want. Freedom in Scripture is set before us, but it never comes without responsibility. And it never comes without rules. We're guided and we are counseled out of Scriptures as to how we are to live among one another. And we see the Word of God gives us that instruction. This part of the cancel culture, the psalmist speaks of such as well. When he says, "Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows." Bitter words. "That they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, 'Who will see them?' They devise iniquities. We have perfected a shrewd scheme. Both the inward thought and the heart of man are deep." There is rebellion against God, always has been, and until Christ comes again to deliver us and to take us to himself into eternal joy and glory, they will hate his word, and they will desire and design to erase it. Presently, they are doing it with words. And let's remember, words have meaning. The word mother has meaning. In an article by Abigail Schreier titled "Sorry Pelosi, Eliminating Official Use of Mother Isn't Inclusive, It's Waging War on Women." It was an excellent article, first published in January 4th. And it begins in this fashion. "House of Representatives might be to cancel mom." On Sunday, January 3rd, 2021, Speaker Nancy Pelosi's Democratic majority proposed to eliminate father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, and all other language deemed insufficiently gender inclusive from house rules. Now that meant for committee meetings within the Congress, while they are talking about making legislation, when they may be talking about budgets, when they may be talking about this, that, and the other thing, you're not to use the word mother, father, brother, sister, so forth, and so on. Now, I don't know how far that has carried, because usually the committee chairmen have a say in what goes on within their committees. But imagine that proposal to just simply cancel this. No, you can't say mother, you can't say father. By the way, I was alarmed earlier this week by one of our representatives in Congress who was meeting in a Democratic business of some sort. And she said, we really can't say, well, mother. We would have to say, if you apply it to, say, a day that we call Mother's Day, you would have to say birthing person. Mothers are birthing people. Almost makes you want to laugh, but I find it very tragic. I find it very tragic. And this is where we're heading. We're heading into the world of new speak. And by the way, I don't know how many of you have ever read George Orwell's 1984 or George Orwell's Animal Farm or Robert Bork's, Road to Sodomy, or it's not quite that. I didn't hear that. You got to shout it out. What's the title of that book?
Slouching Towards Gomorrah.
Slouching Towards Gomorrah.
Okay, that's great. Well, those three books, if you haven't read them, look them up. Because George Orwell is the one who really raised the issues of new speak. And that's what we have, new speak. We can't use various words because we have to have a politically correct word. And this is happening all around us. And the push is on. The push is on that somehow or another, we got to get rid of this book. Because this book is threatening, and this book is dangerous, and this book tells us those things which our hearts and our consciences can't stand. But this book is the book of light. This book is the book of guidance and of counsel and of righteousness and of life and of truth. And we want to cancel it. And God's people have a tremendous task ahead of them. Because we have to be forthright and honest in our speech. We have to be forthright and honest and have integrity in our walk. And we have to understand what the times, like the men of Issachar in the Old Testament, the men who have an understanding of their time. What's happening all around us? We're trying to choke off our children from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're trying to cut off all words that are offensive to a particular ideology. God has given us a great deal of freedom in this land to live righteously, soberly, to live lives of integrity, lives of trust and faith. He has instructed us how we may be good stewards of the Word of God and good stewards of the truth. I also was concerned when in this past week something that seems almost unbelievable. Which day was it? The 5th of May? Was that the day of prayer? Or was it the 7th? The 7th of May. National Day of Prayer. Now, the National Day of Prayer, in my mind, has been a folly all along, because you bring everybody in, and supposedly you can have the Islamic people there, and the Roman Catholics, and the Protestants, and maybe the Hindu, and what have you, and you're all going to come together. But for the first time in the proclamation for the Day of National Prayer by the President of the United States, there was no mention of God. God was left out of the Day of Prayer. Spoke a lot about issues that are facing our country. Pandemic, the various diversities, and so forth, but no mention of God. Can hardly imagine it. Didn't shock me, but I could hardly imagine it. No mention of God. Where are we as a nation? I believe personally that the majority of people in this country are not going to be offended by the term mother or father or sister or brother, but we have to act quickly and firmly and faithfully. What are we going to teach our children? Well, I remember a number of years ago, we had a first lady who wrote a book and said, it takes a village to raise a child. Now that sounds nice. That sounds comforting. It takes a village to raise a child. It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes a faithful father and a faithful mother to raise a child. Now, we could say it takes a village, where the village should be in support of the fathers and mothers who raise their children in a proper fashion. But it doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes a person whose heart is loving toward the child, a family in which the gospel is the light. Otherwise, we'll get to where we're getting presently, where we raise children who basically have no concepts of right and wrong, and where we raise them that they can be free to say and to do anything. You know, our Lord Jesus said that there will be wolves and feet in sheep's clothing. The church itself has adopted and embraced in many instances what we would speak of as the cancel culture. It has embraced the present day philosophies. It has basically set the scriptures aside and has asked for the wisdom of men to direct them and to give them counsel. Yes, this is Mother's Day. And we're thankful for mothers. We're thankful for all that they do. But one of the greatest things that we are thankful to them for is that they are one of the earliest teachers of their children and one of the most influential people over their children. This is not to minimize the fathers, but the fathers, for the course of the years, are the workers and the breadwinners, and they don't have the same influence as a mother has in her home over their children. And I'll just give my own wife a little bit of credit, where every morning for breakfast for our children, before they ever went off to school, they would have instruction within the Heidelberg Catechism, in the Word of God, in the devotions, and so forth. And this is what will assist us in returning to the principles upon which our government were founded, because the Word of God is all throughout our institutions. And we shouldn't forget that. And that's interesting, by the way, because you can go into Washington, D.C., very hard to go into a government building and not see some inscriptions from the Word of God. Library of Congress, look around the big circle there in the main auditorium of that, and you have the Word of God. And you find it elsewhere. And yet we strip that Word of God from our institutions outside of that. We tear it down from states. If you have the Ten Commandments in front of a courthouse, happened in Alabama a number of years ago, which had to be taken down. You had it in the schoolrooms. You had the commandments were in every classroom in the schools. You had devotions in the morning, believe it or not. We had a principal, I remember, when I was in high school. He used to, we always had an auditorium gathering for the school every Thursday, and he'd come, and he would give us a message out of the Word of God. Today, such a one would be thrown out, because in Newspeak, the Word of God is not there. We can't speak it. We look through the scriptures. All throughout the scriptures, you find words with which we are familiar, and they have meaning. Mother, father, they have meaning to us in our living, in our families, but they have meaning to us with respect to God the Father, God the Son. They have meaning with respect to who God is, how He guides us, how He is both our Father, and how also He relates to us as our mother. as oftentimes we see within the scriptures, the masculine side of God and the feminine side. Not male and female, for God is neither male nor female. He's God. And he gives us direction, and he speaks to us in ways in which we can understand him, and he speaks to us in ways in which we relate, and that he relates to us, and as he relates to all things in creation. We can praise God that he has given us his word. We can praise God that he has given us this land in which we live, not to destroy it, but that we could rejoice in it. He has given us great bounty. He has given us the direction as to how we, like Adam and Eve, were called upon to dress the garden. We're to dress the garden. And the garden that we're to dress is this land in which we live. May God give us the grace, the strength, the integrity to live before him as he has called us to live. And may he bless us. May he bless our mothers. And may he bless our fathers as we look to him for that grace and blessing and for that salvation that he has given by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we give you our thanks for your presence among us. And we're thankful, our Lord, that you have given us the word of truth. And we pray for this land in which we live. We ask that you would, our Father, give us leaders whose interest is in the subjects of this country, the men and women who live in it. But above all, our Father, we ask that you would give them the wisdom from your word, to be guided by and to employ that word through their lives daily and through all the legislative acts that they make. We ask, Lord, you would deliver us from the evil that is upon us. We pray that you indeed would help us to see what is happening, and you would help us as your people to again lift up our voices and proclaim from the housetops the name of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of men, without whom we cannot enter into your kingdom. Now we ask that you would hear us as we do call upon you through him who is together with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.